WAI hosts a thriving annual conference in Florida. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Jim Campbell is with me, Editor-in-Chief and CEO of Aero News Network, to talk about Women in Aviation International. The show wrapped up on Saturday, the 27th of February, in Lake Buena Vista at the Disney Coronado Resort, just near Orlando. And Jim, I joked when I was writing a wrap on this that they called it Aviation, It's a Small World, in obvious deference to the famous or infamous Disney ride. But the size of the crowd and the diversity of it looked a little bit more like Epcot World Showcase.
I got to tell you, one of the most consistently impressive events from a number of factors that I have gone to over the last couple of years has been the Women in Aviation Convention. You would think it is a small segment of the industry when you consider the actual percentage of the population of the aviation community that is currently female. However, what Peggy Chabrian and her organization has done to put together a solid organization, a support network, and a truly sterling event is about as impressive as anything I've seen in quite the while. You walk into a Women in Aviation event, and whether you are male or female, you cannot help but be impressed by a very positive, very, very supportive, and very aviation-centric atmosphere. In particular, this year, we were amazed at the phenomenal percentage of military personnel. I mean, you name it, Coast Guard, Navy, Marines, Air Force. And I'm talking people walking around, everything from basic airmen all the way up to a couple of folks, male and female, with stars on their shoulders. And that was it was a pretty impressive event just from the military standpoint.
You know, there's an underlying societal trend going on here, too, that I think really helps this show and this organization and its education and scholarship programs, for that matter. And that is that worldwide, we hear that women make up 6% of licensed pilots.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody among government, industry, the military, who does not want to see more women involved in aviation. And as a result, the show's potential as an educational and recruitment venue is really significant.
It really is. But the part that I've always so enjoyed is it's a tremendously non-parochial event. You would expect that, for instance, a guy walking into this thing would be given the cold shoulder or just ignored or whatever the case may be. Nobody cares. They're all there as aviators. They're all talking about supporting and what you can do with the industry and what can be done to make our lot a better one. And it's just every segment of aviation that you can possibly think of being represented and showing that there is a not only room for women in that part of the business, but in many cases, women in aviation in every segment of the industry right now are strutting their stuff and letting people know that where they can be, they are in charge. We've talked to very senior members of the military, the business community, general aviation community, you name it. It is a growing, aggressive, positive market for aviation, and I couldn't be more thrilled with the progress I see them making.
Tell us about the exhibitors at this show, Jim. It said there were 125 exhibitors there. Were these more lopsided in the direction of career education and recruitment-oriented exhibitors than we see at a normal trade show?
Well, a lot of it is recruitment. I mean, there are a number of airlines there that even when they weren't hiring, they let people know that these are our requirements, this is what's going on, this is what we expect, this is what we can do in the meantime. There are a number of educational institutions and pilot programs that were offering programs to this community. There are a number of job placement services that we're talking about, that as well as various support networks. There are a number of companies marketing specifically to women in aviation. Spent some delightful interview with Chelsea Welch, who many may know from having worked for Lance Air and for Cirrus as a demo pilot. But Chelsea decided at one point that, like all aviators, she had a fascination with a serious timepiece for aviation usage. None of them that she saw were really designed for women, both from a standpoint of size and design and overall look. So she designed her own, has had them made privately, and markets them under the name of Abingdon Watches. Talked to you know, a number of other programs out there. There's some outreach programs specifically for women. There are association groups, aviation maintenance oriented for women. There's just, you name it, they have it, all the way to the NGPA, the National Gay Pilots Association, was in attendance as well. And we're talking to the gay and lesbian members and so forth. So you name it, every segment of aviation that had anything to do with the female segment was well represented.
Well, Jim, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about a couple of specific achievements that were mentioned by WAI in the wake of the conference. Jim Campbell is my guest. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 9927, or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Jim Campbell, CEO and Editor-in-Chief of ANN. Reflecting back on Women in Aviation International, the annual conference in the Orlando area that ended on February 27th this year. And Jim, there were some specific things mentioned, and I wanted to go over them briefly with you. $678,000 plus in scholarships distributed to WAI members at every stage of life, from university students to mature members seeking a midlife career change to aviation. And the fund from which some of these scholarships comes, an endowment fund that WAI maintains, exceeded $650,000 as a result of a silent auction that brought in $18,000. This appears to have been growing dramatically.
Well, believe it or not, this is they've been in existence for over 20 years. I believe this was their 21st convention. Of course, it started out from humble beginnings in San Diego and has worked its way up. But the scholarship program is the most visible way to show the growth of the power of WAI, what they've done with it, and how they have impressed upon industry that supporting a woman's role in aviation is something that the entire industry should get behind, can get behind, and obviously from the amount of scholarship money available, they are definitely getting behind it.
Let's talk about Women Venture. That was the other big announcement that WAI was particularly proud of, and that is that they have been selected to or approved to do another Women Venture series at EA Air Venture Oshkosh this year, and that has turned into quite a thing. It's not just a gathering, the gathering on the square that everybody finds so conspicuous with the colored shirts, but there's a program at Theater in the Woods. Last year there was an all-women air show. Did they reveal any details of what they're going to be doing this year?
Well, they're not speaking too specifically yet, outside of the fact they want to make it bigger, better, more visible, and more prominent. I think more like anything, they're looking at what's been done in the past, where it can go. That's only been done now a few times, and I think they're looking at that as a way outside of their normal means to spread their message, make themselves visible and known, and encourage more women who may be on the outskirts of aviation or just getting into it or maybe thinking about getting into it, that indeed aviation not only welcomes women, but it's a positive environment for a woman to excel in their chosen career path. So we're anxious to see what they do with Oshkosh this year, and I think it'll be, as usual, a pretty positive aspect of a very large event.
Jim, you alluded in a previous interview to a fun time had at the show, and you promised to share a particular anecdote. And at this point, I fear that we really better have you share it for fear that people will insert their own.
Yeah, really, God help me on that score, you know. Well, let's face it. First of all, it's fun to be the token male. I mean, you know, myself and a couple thousand women and just a few of us guys. And Yeah, we don't mind that too much because these are very powerful, outgoing women who are doing amazing things with their career. Boy, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Mm-hmm. But I kind of got sandbagged this year by a friend of ours, Patricia Lipke, who was running the newsletter out of the press room. And Pat's this amazing lady who has just been everywhere in aviation. She's worked with a number of publications and programs and so forth over the years. But I was remarking to her that about the only place I get more hugs at than the Women in Aviation Convention is at a family reunion. The next day in the newsletter, big pull quote, big heart behind it, and we're not talking about, you know, just a little segment here. We're talking about a big segment at the bottom of a page with that exact quote, which then apparently created a little bit of a competition to see how we could raise the bar on the total quantity of hugs for yours truly for the entire time I was there. I had a heck of a good time, Paul. I really did. And it was, I mean, it's like I said, I've always found it to be a positive event and a lot of fun. And as a matter of fact, while I was there, I had a brief conversation with Peggy Chabrian. We were talking a little bit about something that I want to do next year. And we're establishing an aerobatic competition in memory of Vicky. Mm-hmm. Vicky Cruz, of course, who perished at the World Aerobatic Championship several months ago and was a very, very big part of my life for a significant period of time. And I don't want people to forget her. And not that I think that'll happen, but we're going to work directly with Women in Aviation. And I've asked a couple of my friends in the community, like Julie Clark and Amy Loboda, and I've got a few others on the list that will help administer and choose an aerobatic scholarship that will be awarded each year to a woman who is looking to broaden her horizons and learn more about the truly limited nature of aerobatic flight and allow that to have a tremendous impact on their career, their aspirations, like it did for Vicky many years ago. And I hope it's going to be a very popular one. I've got a feeling it will be, but based on the folks I've talked to so far, and I can't think of a better organization to work with on that than Women in Aviation.
Well, it sounds like we have set the stage for much more to report on later and of a positive note. Thanks so much for sharing your insight from inside the convention with our listeners, and we look forward to a busy show season coming down in the next few months.
Amen to that. It's going to be a lot of fun this year.
You can find out more about Women in Aviation International at www.wai.org. Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and Editor-in-Chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.